The message of Christmas is summed up as the angels who appeared to the shepherds as being good news that brings great joy. Good news that brings great joy. I thought we'd do a little bit of cultural analysis this evening and try and see how a familiar sort of Christmas thing relates to that message. If you're from overseas, I don't know whether you have crackers at Christmas. It's a good old British tradition. And I thought we'd kind of interrogate a Christmas cracker and see how it relates to Christmas being a wonderful good news message of great joy. Well, the first thing you do when you pull a cracker is to create a great bang. I don't like bangs very much. I stay at home on Guy Fawkes Night these days, so I'm just going to open it up like this. Which will also mean that my wife will be able to sellotape it up and then we can use it again on Christmas Day. So what's the first thing that you find? Well, one of the first things one finds is a joke, and a Christmas cracker jokes can vary a bit in terms of their superability. No, I think this one's all right. Oh, dear. I mean, all right in one sense, but... what do hedgehogs have for lunch? Prickled onions. I kind of think the point of a joke in the Christmas cracker is to make you groan. The one that I think most relates to that was one that I saw on millennia ago. There was a sitcom, actually it was the 1970s, called The Good Life. And they had a Christmas episode where they had some homemade Christmas crackers in it. And the rather uptight lady who's one of the married couples who are at the centre of The Good Life, Margot, she's having a Christmas where she doesn't quite get it. And that continues when she opens a Christmas cracker joke and she gets this one. I'll try and get it from memory. Why is the ooh-ah bird so named? Because it lays square eggs. Get it? Yeah. The more you think of it, the more you groan, don't you? I mean, there's a real groan of sympathy there at this poor creature. I'm afraid those of you who didn't get it, you're like Margot Ledbetter, so you can look it up online and she gets there in the end. How is a message of great joy like a joke? A joke particularly, like many jokes, which focuses on someone's pain, like the mythical ooh-ah bird trying to produce square eggs. So many jokes are like that, aren't they? Is Christmas just part of a kind of joke that the universe plays on us, that we can try and have 10 or 12 days of peace and festivity in the midst of an otherwise grim world? Lots of people who've got cynical and despairing. Just wonder if life is the worst kind of joke. Was a line in the song Bob Dylan wrote in the 60s, Jimi Hendrix made famous, All Along the Watchtower. They say rather bitterly, there are many among us here who feel that life is but a joke. How can that relate to a message of great joy? Unless, actually, we think of the kind of joke that isn't laughing at anyone's pain and it's just something that's inherently funny and no one's hurt by it and it seizes you and you just can't stop yourself pouring out with the most generous kind of laughter and joy. Now, Christmas is about that. But to find out why, we need to delve a little deeper into our cracker. Next thing that comes out is the hat. Though, as I realised this week, almost the first time, that these paper hats, party hats, are actually done as crowns. I have to be a little bit careful when I put them on, because my head is extra large. If I'm not careful, they tear and then they come off. But I'll have a go now. We've got it on. It was one year when we had a lunchtime Christmas party in the back hall and we'd all had crackers and I put my hat on and I forgot I had it on afterwards and I walked out of the church building up and did some shopping in the Grafton Centre and I think I came all the way back before someone finally said, I don't know if I had my name label on as well. So how does this relate to Christmas? Do you know, a crown represents sovereignty, represents control, represents being top. The Bible points out to us how much we want to be top, how much we want to be king or queen, how much we organise our lives so that we can put a crown on our heads and we have other people running around us. Things are done our way. and to our satisfaction. Well, they would be if we could really exert that power. But actually, the joke's on us, because when we try and live that way, it doesn't work. And there is something darkly funny about our attempts to be in charge of our own lives in that kind of a way. But actually, the significance of the crown goes a bit deeper, because the Bible tells us that the real nature of reality is not that what we can see and feel and touch is the sum total of everything, but that there is a great divine being behind everything, God himself, Father, Son, and Spirit, and he has the crown of the universe upon his head. He's made it, he controls it, he rules it, he owns it, and it works best with him in charge. But actually, because of the way we've tried to put the crown on our own lives, God's own Son, in a sense, takes off the crown and comes to earth and becomes a human being and is born not in the maternity unit of the royal palace in Jerusalem, but is born in just in a stable or in a guest house with the animals there. He takes off his crown because we try to put the crown on our heads. And then the next thing, if I can avoid setting off the bang, what's it going to be, I wonder? You see, the third thing you get in a traditional Christmas cracker is some kind of gift. This seems to be a little pack of cards. There are all sorts of things, some of them, to be honest, better than others. But the point is that they are a gift, and they represent Christmas as a time of giving and receiving. What is it that drives us to go to such lengths to procure the right kind of present? What is it that drives us to spend such extraordinary sums of money at this time of year, so that many people find the end of the month in January just the most difficult time financially? It's something a bit more than mere materialism, isn't it? There is a desire to give and to receive. I was with the father of a large family this week who was describing to me the joint present that they've got all of their children. None of them know what it's going to be, but it is exactly what they want. I was just wishing I could be a fly on the wall when it's opened on Christmas Day morning. Most people think that God is out there to get something from us, that he wears an iron, dark crown on his head. And if he is there, his posture towards us is full of demands. I want you to give me this. I want this from you. I want this from you. Now, he is owed everything, but actually he doesn't come to us like that. He comes to us and says, I want you to receive from me. And I want to give you the most precious thing I have and the thing which you need more than anything else. And that is Jesus Christ, come to be our Saviour. And so the giving and receiving of Christmas, summed up by the little presents and gifts that you get in a cracker, that actually derives its great power from the best gift of all. The gift, the free gift of Christ, with all that he brings. And what he brings is God's love shining into our lives like the purest of light. What he brings is God's forgiveness, healing us, doing away with all our brokenness, all our failure, all our rebellion, all the grot deep down that we know about and no one else knows about. Bringing us hope. Hope in this life that he will never leave us, and hope for a life beyond this life, which will be perfect in every way with him for all eternity. And what God says to us this Christmas is, will you receive my gift? Will you receive my Son? As it said in one of the carols that we sang, where meek hearts will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. That can be you this Christmas. And a meek heart is just the kind of heart that says, I'm actually tired of trying to wear the crown on myself. I want someone else to wear that. A meek heart is one that says, actually, my posture of cynicism towards life is something I just want to get away from. I want to get into God's great joke, if you like, which is full of the most wonderful, pure kind of joy and laughter. A meek heart is one that says, yes, okay, I'm not going to try and do anything for you, not to start with anyway. I'm going to receive from you your own Son. If that's something you would like to do, you could just pray and receive Christ this evening. If you don't know quite how to do that, one of us would be delighted to tell you. If you want to know more about that, you could come back to one of our other services. We have services next Sunday and then on Christmas Day. If you felt you wanted to join a discussion group so you could ask them any questions perhaps this talk or Christmas has stirred up, we'd be glad to help you there. If you'd just like a personal appointment to talk to someone one-on-one about these things, again, we would be delighted to help you. Because those of us who know Jesus know that he outclasses everything else. It may sound weird to think of someone else being on the throne of your life, but it is the best, the safest, the most joyful way to be. And to know that deep joy welling up from within as we have a relationship with him and receive his gift. Why don't we have a moment of quiet and then I'll pray. Help us, Lord God, to understand what you did at the first Christmas and what you are still doing today. Lord, help those who are here this evening who want to know more to open their hearts to you and to work out what the right next step for them is. Most of all, we want to thank you that we are not alone and that you love us and you want to be at the centre of our lives. Help us to see what we need to do to make that real, Lord. For your name's sake. Amen.